Now more than ever. Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price. You want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Price match applies to same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at lowes.com/lowest price guarantee.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. It's a great pleasure to speak with Richard Munson, whose new book is Ingenious, a biography of Benjamin Franklin's scientist. Yes, there's the patriot, there's the landowner, there's the successful businessman, there's the printer. He's in the assembly, but eventually he'll get tossed out of the assembly by his enemies. He has many of them who think that he takes credit for other people's work and that he's led a low life. There's lots of defamation. He struggled with that, but he was always busy in his lab. And what did he do in his lab? And what about that kite? Richard, it's a great pleasure to go through the steps up to the kite, especially because you make it clear in your reporting that recently it's been useful to media organizations and biographers to bring into question the kite experiment at all, because Franklin didn't record the date, the time. He didn't make a video of it. He didn't put it out on telegraph. You understand. He just did it, but he didn't get there in one leap. He started with what is electricity? What remains a Leyden jar? What is that?
It's a rudimentary battery. It's something that is able to store electricity. Remarkable invention, because you were able to move the battery to wherever you needed the power. So it was named after the city in which it was invented, but Franklin looked at it, thought it was a remarkable invention, and tried to improve it. And you're right. I mean, before the kite experiment, he was doing basic fundamental research on electricity. He came up with a thought that electrical charges, both positive and negative, were always seeking balance. It was a law that he referred to as the conservation of charge. And the great thing about this is that what scientists love about laws is that they tend to predict accurately various other scientific experiments. And that's what this one did. And other sort of modern day physicists would say the conservation law that Franklin developed would by itself have provided him as fame as a scientific pioneer.
He's an endless tinkerer, is the way I can translate this. He makes experiments in all directions, which, of course, doesn't make him the most venerated natural philosopher, except he is. And we're going to follow one particular course about electricity, because he invents words that we use routinely now, such as condenser. Electricity was misunderstood entirely as a fire, although eventually Franklin calls it an electric matter. But there was a challenge to turn the fire into something practical. And that is our man, Benjamin Franklin. Before we get there, of course, his experimenting, including taking risks himself. I go to Christmas Day, 1750, and Benjamin Franklin having two Leyden jars. What happened, Richard?
He made the mistake of touching both the positive and the negative charges. And basically got himself thrown across the room and on the floor. At the time, I mean, what I think this shows is that electricity is a dangerous, form of energy. And what he was doing had its dangers. And not only the kite experiment was even another one where somebody else, a Russian, tried to do the same experiment and ended up facing a lightning bolt that sent him to his grave, unfortunately.
Yes, Franklin wakes up after Christmas Day, after blanking out with a lump on his head, and he goes, well, I guess that proves that it goes through you. It doesn't stop with you. Now, what is striking to me is the pamphlet issued in 1751, Experiments and Observations on Electricity Made in Philadelphia, America. That translates into it's printed in Europe, and it gets to France, and it makes him famous before the kite. before the kite.
Yes. Yes.
So although Richard notes that the book wasn't published in America till the 20th century, it's quite amazing. This was his fame. We need to get to the kite now because there was a practical use for it. Franklin was an observer who then came up with practical answers, and that's what the kite is. It's about the dangers of lightning and tall buildings, especially church steeples. Richard has some statistics. There were 360 lightning strikes in Germany on church towers in 1 year, and some incredible number of the sextons were damaged or killed by the lightning strikes because they had an idea that a church could be was protected in some fashion. There was even a village in northern Italy, Richard reports, that stored gunpowder in a church thinking it was safe, and it nearly wiped out the whole village when it exploded. So Franklin knows all this, and he wants to demonstrate that there might be a way of dealing with lightning. He actually thinks that maybe lightning is the same as the stuff out of the Leyden jars. They don't have proof of this now. And now we come to the kite. Challenged by NPR, Richard reports. We don't know where it happened. We know it was someday in June, and it was with a toy kite. Why did he use a kite? What was he trying to achieve?
Well, he used a kite. He had originally thought that his experiment was to put a pole atop a tall building, and with the thought here that would collect electrostatic charges that he could then send down a wire into a battery and use that electricity elsewhere. His concern was that in Philadelphia at the time, there was no building that he felt was tall enough to be able to send a pole up into the clouds. And so his experiment was actually, he wrote it up, but he was not the first one to do it. It was actually at the request of the French king, a very, I guess, brave researcher. His name's Francois Dalibard, did the experiment at a church steeple about 25 miles north of Paris. And in fact, it was quite successful. He kept himself safe within a sentry box, if you will, something like a guard's booth. And being a Frenchman, he also made himself stand on a insulated pad that was placed atop about five or six different empty wine bottles. He was, as I note, in France. They had a lot of those. So the successful experiment was done not only by Francois Dalibard, but then it was repeated in Germany and in England and elsewhere. And Franklin didn't know about it because it took 6 weeks, sometimes 3 months to get word or ships to cross the Atlantic. And so while he was waiting, Franklin said, let me try another way. And he put basically a wire atop a kite, realizing that that could get up higher than any building in Philadelphia and thereby attract electrostatic charges and bring them down into this battery. Where the practical side comes up is that he did therefore make the connection and proved the connection between electricity and lightning. But he realized that there was a way of using this pole or this wire to be able to protect the populace, both people and buildings, from electrostatic charges such as lightning. And so he put on his own house and put on the Philadelphia legislature and a variety of other places. This became probably one of the great practical discoveries that saved, as you noted, both lives and buildings.
Yes, the lightning rod. And he gives instructions. And one of the recommendations made to him by through the ages is his instructions are very easily understood. He had a knack for speaking in commonsensical language. A moment. Everybody knows about the Franklin stove, especially if you live in New England. This is named for Benjamin Franklin, although others improved on it. Cast iron stove that's going to throw heat and not make smoke. What's wonderful, Richard, is that he keeps experimenting with it. He doesn't just do something and take a patent out and collect money. In fact, I think he denied that he wanted a patent for the stove. Is that correct?
That is correct. And the governor of Pennsylvania offered him a patent whereby he would have made a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
And you had noted that he had been successful in business ahead of time. So it wasn't like he needed money, but he probably would have enjoyed getting more. But he viewed the stove as something that would provide great benefit to his compatriots. And that is a warm, a more efficient stove that brought both warmth and got rid of some of the smoke that was typical of the stoves of that era.
And it continued to change the details of the stove and where the plates should be and how to keep the draft from coming in when the fire is not lit. I have a Franklin.
This is, I think, an example of Franklin just continued to experiment. I mean, he would come up with a new idea and, you know, give it a try, thinking that there would be improvement. And I think this is one of his wonderful, you know, attributes that, but he did things with both the stove and the electricity, but he did it with sort of a joyfulness that I found really absolutely wonderful. You read his laboratory notes and they're filled with admirations of the results turned out to be far more fascinating than we had thought. It was a wonder to see the work that was done. Even when the experiment didn't work out the way that he thought it was, Franklin, joyful that he was thinking, we opened up new possibilities that might lead us into more and other interesting projects. So I think one of the things that surprised me, I had always sort of known that he was a clever man or that had this sort of trickster sense of joy about him. But the amount of just, you know, pleasure that he got out of experimenting and discovering was remarkable and infectious.
I have a partial list: refrigeration, meteorology, kidney stones, the American Philosophical Society in 43, the Academy and College of Pennsylvania in 51, that becomes UPenn, experimenting on nature, observing nature, the oil over water, goes on and on and on. We're going to turn to this. Remember, the politics are here. The experimentation is here. Experimentation opens doors. So we're going to open some of those doors, and one particular door, cockpit. When the king loses a genius. This book is Ingenious, a biography of Benjamin Franklin. Richard Munson is the author.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.